I want to talk a minute about a little bit of Ernest Holmes' history. Ernest Holmes was an enthusiastic reader. He was brilliant, exposed to lots of spiritual ideas and other. He loved philosophy and literature and really dedicated his life at quite a young age. He was about 20 when he discovered Emerson, and then his life sort of burst open. And he realized that he wanted to find those great truths that overlap in all religions and spiritual traditions. The way I see that, this is one of my unique ideas, is that the way I see that is if you drew a series of circles that overlapped, there would be one tiny section in the center of that where they all overlap together, and so there are a few universal truths. And so he wanted to uncover or know what those were, and this philosophy is based on that work. Now, he did not want to be a prophet. He did not think he had anything new to bring. We do not put him on an idol. I kind of do. But he would hate that. We do not put him on a pedestal, thank you very much. Because what happens when you put people on a pedestal? Eventually they're going to fall. That's what I say to people who seem a little bit too much in love with me. It's like, ooh, I will disappoint you one day. Let me off. I don't want to do that. And it's just human nature. It's what we do. But he knew what he said, what he knew, and what he believed was that he synthesized a bunch of great, great wisdom, and he put it into a formula in which we could use it. And so he had these themes that I've already talked about, and he had some great people that he studied under. But when he was 21 years old, that was in 1908, he had this great experience that really brought him to an understanding of a new way of praying. And what happened was he had heard Leland Powers speak, and that was a dramatic type of speaking that was popular in that day. And Leland Powers had a school where he would educate people into being able to do this dramatic speaking. So it was called the Leland Powers School of Elocution. Sometimes I read it as, some sources say, the Powers School of Expression. Well, Leland Powers' wife, who was also one of the teachers, was a Christian Scientist. And so she was always chatting about that, and the students were interested. She was a lovely woman. And one day, they kind of did an outing, and she was a Christian Science reader. And so they went to hear her, and they sat in her presence, and that was the first time that Ernest Holmes was exposed to a very different kind of prayer. And something resonated for him, like, I think there's something here. So he went out and he bought the Christian Science, he probably went to the library, but he bought the Christian Science textbook, which is called, Science and Health and the Keys to Scriptures. Who was that? Is there a whole bunch of Christian Scientists in here? So he bought that book, and he immediately fell in love with parts of it. Now, I want to tell you right off the top, there were large portions of it that he didn't agree with, but he never talked poorly about Christian Science. I suspect he never talked poorly about another faith. If he had some strong opinions, he would get kind of aggravated that churches taught hell and damnation and guilt and a belief in the devil. But in terms of other faiths, we could follow his example. He was very—he didn't get defensive. He was very open-minded, and I guess it's because in part he was just so curious. So he said when he read the Christian Science material on prayer, which they call treatment, he said that in the first chapter it stated this. It's fascinating. Listen to how much this sounds like us. The answer to prayer lies in the mental attitude of the one who prays. It is not God's mind that needs to be changed, but our own mind. God is to be looked upon as love, impartial, and universal. God answers all who pray with real faith. Not faith in God alone, but faith in the answer as well. Wow, that's a powerful thing for us to look at. So here's this issue of love and the way the universe is impartial. There's no religion that's favored over any others. And God answers those who pray with real faith. And this is not about having a faith in God alone. Certainly that has to be a part of it, but it's not about that alone, but it's about our faith that the prayer is going to be answered. Now, this was a major breakthrough for him. He was quite intrigued with that. He goes on to say that he had a strong feeling as he was studying this material that there was some simple method that he could actually use. This is where he began to formulate his own ideas as to how he could teach a different way of praying. And whatever that power is that we use, he says, he goes, I thought, it must be impersonal and it must be simple. And this was really a major breakthrough in my life. You see, he's 21 years old, but he realizes that this is a major breakthrough, this new idea of how to pray. And he said what happened was he entered into a new field of consciousness. This is entirely what we teach, that we pray from a consciousness, not of lack, not of need, not of begging God, but from a different field of consciousness where we begin to really understand that our good is at hand. That those things that we desire are God-given desires that desire to manifest as a part of our experience of living. And he also added, this is a little side note, but I thought this was really interesting. He said, at this point, I avoided having religious conversations with my family. See, he's starting to have original thoughts, and he decided to keep it to himself because it was out there. Emerson was a little out there at the time. Now, the next thing that happens is sort of exciting. So there's a student in the class that went to these lectures to hear Leland Power's wife and heard the prayer. And they had been talking, the students had been talking about this new idea, and probably all Holmes, they were probably all listening. And Holmes is going, you know what I'm thinking? Because he's so insightful. And one of the students is required to speak that afternoon, and he's scared. He's got stage fright really bad, so it's kind of like Toastmasters, I'm imagining, you know? And so he says to Ernest, you know, if you really think this stuff works, why don't you do a treatment for me while I'm up there? And let's just see if it works, because I could use the help. And Holmes said, okay. So he did, and the guy was like together and confident. He didn't have any fear through this whole speech or presentation. And he got down and he looked at Ernest and he went, well, what did you do? And Holmes goes, I'm not really sure. I don't really know what I did. But what I think I did, he said, all I can tell you is that I began to think, well, I'm not scared when I'm up there. And I allowed myself to feel that confidence from when I speak. And I started thinking, if I could be confident, then, well, you could too. And for whatever reason, there was a reflection on it. Now he knows he's on to something. So now he really contemplates this. He does more research. He does more reflecting. And he starts playing with it and dabbing in it and looking for a way to articulate this new idea of prayer that he has, that it's like the treatment that he saw, but it's not, it's different, it's more, there's something else. And he plays in it. Well, time passes, and he ends up doing a treatment for his mother. He's kind of famous for this. Now, the mom, Anna Holmes, who had given birth to 9 sons, had heart trouble. I think she probably had a couple other problems, too. But 9 boys, woo! And so she had this heart problem. In fact, they say she must have had it forever because The boys, when they were young, worried. It was always a worry for the sons. They didn't want mom to pass, you know? So now she's in her 50s, and Holmes is working on this. He was the youngest son. He's working on this form of prayer, and he thought, you know what? I don't think she has to be sick. I'm going to create a formula for my mother to be healed from this heart ailment. So he says, these are his words. This is Ernest Holmes, his Life and Times that I'm reading from. It's out of print, but oh, what a luscious read. If you're me, oh, it's just heaven. So Holmes says this. He says he worked up a complete argument beginning with some scripture from the Bible. So he would, in the early days, he always started with, that's what Mary Baker Eddy did really well. So he would take a scripture from the Bible. He was raised with a Bible being read to him every night as a child. And he would repeat certain promises. So, you know, you can buy little, I've seen them at Barnes & Noble or online. You can buy little booklets with just upbuilding passages from the Bible. If you don't want all the other stuff, you can get just the encouraging stuff. And the Bible as well as other books. And he said, I denied the reality of any negative power, and I affirmed what I conceived to be the truth. Now listen to this. He said these words probably in about 1958, 59. As I look back on it, it appears like a formula, but it was spontaneous. It was more the nature of prayer, except that I had already learned not to beg God. I merely stated to myself that no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come to thy dwelling, scripture, right? He just kept repeating that scripture. He used it like an affirmation. Nothing can hurt me. God is, there, you know, there's a power and a presence in the universe. It's greater than I am, and God directs and protects and all that. So this is his way of saying those things. And I thought about Mother, and I thought about how good and how kind she is. And God had nothing against her. There was no need for her to be sick. And so I half asked God, and I half affirmed that he would heal her. So now this is his first real dabble in what we see as affirmative mind, spiritual mind treatment, affirmative prayer. And the treatment worked. His mother lived to be 98 years old and never had another issue with her heart. For one thing, I was praying that God came into the picture, but I prayed positively. I believed it was the Father's good pleasure to give Mother the kingdom, and I said so. There's a little tip. Amen. There's a little tip. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and we're not talking about heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within. To give you the kingdom here and now. I changed my own consciousness about her, and in some way it reached her. Change our mind. It's all we have to do is change our mind. We only have to be open to a different perspective. So treatment, prayer, affirmative prayer, always starts from that premise that God is good. And we look at that idea of being whole and perfect and complete. And by the way, in 2013, my Halloween, I looked it up so I can tell you this with great, almost authority, that because all of my messages, thanks to Mark Reed, all of my messages are recorded and you can access them free on the internet. And on Halloween, I did, of 2013, I did a talk called Trick or Treating, and I think that it's one of the best messages I've delivered on how spiritual mind treatment works, next to this